John 13, verse 3. And so I'm going to put kick it into overdrive this morning and probably go a little faster than this is my spot. I mean, 10 years I've been doing it like this, you know. I'm expecting somebody to pop up here. Oh, well, this is really new, honestly. I feel a little lonely up here by myself. The Lone Ranger, yeah. Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to have to get used to this. So, but I'm encouraged by the turnout this morning. So hopefully this will continue, and we'll have more and more people at the first service and also hopefully the second service. So, Father, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the church that you've put here. And, Lord, this is something you did, and you sovereignly planted this thing, Lord. And I'm thankful that you did. And when I think back, I don't know where I would be without what you have done. And I'm thankful that you did this, that you put this church here for a reason, Lord, and that you put the people here. And Lord, I see how much you love us. I just see it, Lord. And I see the love of God here. Lord, not that we're perfect, not that we've arrived, Lord, but I do see the working of the Spirit of God. So I'm thankful for this. Lord, help me to teach properly that which you're trying to get across to me and to the church, Lord, so that we understand about the Passover. There's more here than what we ever understood before. Thank you for opening our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title today, we're still on the series, The Way to the Cross, but this is a subset, the purpose of the foot washing for us today. What is that all about? I have a feeling that most people do not get the meaning of the foot washing, and that many times we go in and we do the symbolic washing of the feet, but we don't really know what that means for us today. So we can go through and do the foot washing and all that and still not really get the benefit of what Jesus is saying. So I want us to spend some time here. I'm going to go through verse by verse, and we're going to look at what Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples. So understand that he is getting ready to be denied. He's getting ready to be betrayed. He's also going to be forsaken by most of the disciples. So in verse 3, it says, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and he had come forth from God and was going back to God. So it was important for Jesus to know that he had come from God. It's important for you and me to know that we're from God. I don't know how you've been in your walk with God, but I'm sure every now and then we think, I don't know if I'm really of God or not. You know, you ever thought that you're not really of God, you know? And I think that's something that we struggle with as we walk with God. To get to the place that you know that you've come forth from God, that you've been born again, and that your spirit one day is going to go back to heaven, it's a big deal to know that. And for Jesus to know that empowered him to do things that he wouldn't normally be able to do. And for you and me, it's important that we know that. And if we do know that, then we can endure a lot of things that normally we wouldn't endure. We would be able to handle a lot of the things that come against us if we know, hey, we're going to be out of here one day, and we're going to be with God, and everything's going to be okay. And therefore, I can deal with this and not get upset, not get mad, not lose my salvation over it, you know? So I think it's important that we get the same picture that Jesus did. And that's what I'm trying to get across here is the way Jesus did everything, he did it and died for us so that we would be forgiven. But he also did it to show us an example of how we're supposed to live here and how we're supposed to do it. He says, he got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel. He girded himself. So why is he getting ready to do this? What is this all about? 1 John 4:7-9. Beloved, let's love one another. Love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love doesn't know God, for God is love. So, you know, we can say we know the Lord, and we can say we have gifts, and we can say we do this and we do that, but he said if you don't love, you're not from God, and you don't even know God. So when you really get down to the bottom line here, it's all about the love of God. And here Jesus is getting ready to go through a time in his life when he's going to be by himself. pretty much by himself. Boy, I mean, you got to know something when you're by yourself. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been by yourself before, where like, man, I'm all alone. I don't know if God's with, like I am right now. I don't know if God's with me. I don't know what's going on. But boy, you got to know something when you get to that place. And so he says, by this the love of God is manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son so that we could live through him. But back to John 13:5. So he pours water in a basin and begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel on which he was girded. So what is this all about? Why is he doing this? Notice that he's doing this before the Lord's Supper. The message I really want to get into is probably going to be next week. I'm going to really talk about the Lord's Supper because I think because of our condition of the hearts of people in church in general, that the Lord's Supper turns out being a bad thing instead of a good thing for us. And now I'm going to really deal with the Lord's Supper and how we're supposed to take that. I don't think we have taken it properly in general. And I think because of that, we have a lot of problems in church because of this. And I'm going to deal with this next week, but I'm leading up to it right now. The foot washing is prior to the Lord's Supper. And I think in general, we have to get to the place that we go through this foot washing, and I'll define what that means in a minute, before we take the Lord's table, before we take the Lord's Supper. So it was important that he did this. And I want to show you, why did Jesus have to do this? Why did he do it right now at this particular time? What was the purpose? So Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. The only people that are going to be there that he really knows is his mother, Mary Magdalene, and John, maybe a few other ladies. But most everybody else was gone. So he went to the cross pretty much by himself. And that's another thing about you and me. Going to the cross is a lonely thing. You don't go with other people. You go by yourself. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been going through the cross. We keep going. But that's a very lonely thing. And not very many people are going to go there with you. You know? So he had to pretty much do that by himself, him and the Father. So when we know that we're from God and that we're going to be with God, he can do things now that he wouldn't normally be able to do. That is, wash the feet of the brothers, his disciples, that are deniers, betrayers, and forsakers. All these three categories are right here with these disciples. And knowing that he's going to go be with God, he can do something that most of the time he wouldn't be able to do. And so I want to show you why Jesus did this. In verse 6, Peter says, Lord, you wash my feet? Jesus has answered and said, what I do, you don't realize now. So in other words, there's more to this foot washing than just cleaning the dust off the feet. He said, you don't really know what I'm doing here. And I think we have gone through the foot washings, and I've done them. And I've done them in weddings. I've done them in the church. But I don't think we really quite got the whole meaning of what that was about. Why on earth did he have to do this before he took the Passover? He said, if I don't wash you, you and I, we don't have anything to do with one another. So if you're going to take the Lord's Supper, it's communing with the Lord, right? How can you commune with the Lord if you don't have anything to do with him? So he is saying right here, for me to have something to do with you and for you to have something to do with me, I got to wash you first. I can't do it until I wash you. What is he talking about? So without that ongoing washing and cleansing and pruning that comes from the washing of the word, you're not going to be connected to the Lord. Jesus knows these guys are getting ready to flee. And he's preparing himself for that. He's already forgiving these guys, already, prior to them committing the sin, betraying, denying, forsaking him. He is already trying to get his heart really right with those guys. And you got to look at Jesus in the flesh. He had to deal with the same things that we deal with. In his flesh, he had to deal with the exact same things. So he's got to make sure that he is right with those disciples that are getting ready to forsake him, deny him, and betray him. And he is not going to take the Lord's Supper with those guys until he's got to make sure that he and those guys are right with one another. This is one of the problems that we do in church, If we take the Lord's Supper and we're not right with anybody sometimes. We're not right with our wife. We're not right with God. We're not right with ourselves. We're not right with our brother. We're not right with people in ministry that we're in ministry with. And we just take it and we don't realize we just open up the door to the devil. Next week, I'm going to get into the details of how that works. But right now, I want to talk about when we get ready to do communion from now on, we have to go through this spiritual foot washing. Not physical, not a physical thing, but spiritually, we better understand what that means to wash one another's feet. Amen? So, if we have a problem with our brother, we have a problem with one another, and then we come and we take the Lord's table, you just did something that's not really good. So he had to keep his heart right towards these disciples. Judas, he knows he's going to betray him, yet he's going to wash his feet. How many of you would be willing to wash the feet of somebody that's getting ready to put you to death? You know that that person right there is going to go out, turn you over, and you're going to die because of that one person right there. And can you wash his feet? Can you do that? I don't know. It's pretty hard. So there's a reason he did that, because when he took that cup, he wanted to take it properly, and he wanted his disciples to be in the right relationship with him. So he took it on himself, really, to be right with those disciples, even though maybe they were not right with him. Amen. So in your relationships, you got to wash the feet of those who sometimes are going to deny you, betray you, and forsake you. Here's what we got to figure out. How do we wash the feet of one another? I don't mean going in and taking a handy wipe and wiping somebody's toes, you know. And that's not what I'm talking about. What is it that you and I have to do to truly wash the feet of somebody else? Think about that. What does it take for you to get yourself right with your brothers, even those that have betrayed you, even those that have denied you? And let's face it, everybody in here has been betrayed. Some of you have been betrayed even by people here. Amen? Some of you have been betrayed or denied by people in your own family. Amen? I mean, I don't think there's hardly anybody in here that has not happened to. Amen? Plus, we've done the same thing to others. You know, we kind of get upset because, well, so-and-so did this to me, and so-and-so said that about me, and blah, 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 but we've done the same thing. We've all messed up here. So this washing keeps our relationships in order so that we don't get bitter towards the ones who deny us or betray us. This is a way you keep from getting bitter, by washing the feet. In other words, if we do not wash the feet of those who deny us, who leave us, who betray us, forsake us, we'll wind up denying and betraying the Lord himself. So it will keep our heart connected to our brothers and sisters. You ever felt disconnected from one of your brothers? Anybody been in ministry with people? Then you get disconnected from them and you feel like they don't love you or they don't like you or you don't like them. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. We had a great meeting yesterday with the worship team. And I think what we did yesterday was wash one another's feet. Those of you that were, how many were there at that meeting? Okay, that's what I'm talking about right there. That, in my opinion, was a foot washing ceremony. It was a foot washing ceremony. And I think that's what God wants us to learn, how to do this more and more within our Jethro groups, within the church, within our relationships, is learn how to come and wash one another's feet and release one another. And, you know, we had on the worship meeting, is we told everybody, hey, if you're tired, you need to sit down, take a break. No condemnation, no guilt, just do it, you know. And I felt this morning when they were worshiping, I felt like there was a lot of freedom, that there was not that kind of, I got to do this thing, I got to make sure it's perfect. It just seemed to be a lot of freedom and a lot of release. I don't know if y'all felt that or not up here, but I felt it, you know. It felt really good. And I really felt the anointing. I thought, well, we only got about 80 people here. I wonder if the anointing is going to be here with 80, you know. But it was. And I felt really the power of the Lord. And so I think that the worship team, if you can just think back what we did yesterday, that was a foot washing. Does that make sense to y'all? And so that's what we have to do more of that. We have to do more of that to stay on track with the Lord. So Jesus is already forgiving his disciples before they do what he knows. It's pretty sad when you know what somebody's going to do to you. Jesus always knew what was getting ready to happen. You know, if I knew all the time that certain people were going to do something bad to me, I probably wouldn't be doing too well. You know, just think about that. If you know that this person and that person is going to do this to you and that to you and that to you, and you're sitting there looking at them and you know they're getting ready to do this, how are you going to treat them? But he knew all these things and still had to treat them like, hey, it's okay, man. So if we knew those things, I wonder how we would be. You know, how would we treat one another if we knew that they're getting ready to do this, or if we knew they did this behind our back or something, you know? So as you see this unfold here, this is kind of another introduction, because there's some really deep things I want to get into, but I'm probably not going to get into today. Peter said, Lord, just not only my feet, but my hands, my head, just wash me all over. Just give me a complete bath, you know. And Jesus said, he who bathed only needs to wash his feet, but it's completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. So he says, some of you are not clean. Wouldn't that be a sad thing to be sitting there, 12 guys sitting there, and Jesus saying, you're clean, but there's some of you who are dirty. You're going, uh-oh. Than me? Who are you talking to? So Jesus is washing the feet of people. He knows the ones that are really clean. Listen, when you wash somebody, you know if they're clean or not. When you wash that baby all over, head to toe, you know if that baby's clean or not. Amen? So if you wash yourself, you know, nobody else knows if you're clean. Only you know. But when you wash somebody, you know if you got them clean or not. And so Jesus is washing these guys. He's getting them clean, but he says, some of you are not completely clean. So he had to lay himself aside. He had to lay aside what he knows getting ready to happen and still wash these people. Judas was covetous. He sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Adam and Eve, they sold the Lord for a piece of fruit. Esau sold for a pot of red stew. Absalom sold for the kingdom. Judas sold for 30 pieces of silver. Achan betrayed the Lord because he was covetous for that mantle and that gold. And also his entire family sold out also. They were all covetous. This is one of the reasons the Bible says the covetous will not inherit the kingdom of God. The covetous will not inherit the kingdom of God. All these guys were covetous. So we do the same today when we don't see the needs of the people, take care of them physically or spiritually, or wash their feet. So I think it's important that you see that everyone that you're in contact with, everybody needs their feet washed. Everybody's got issues. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's been betrayed. Everybody's maybe even betrayed themselves. But it's really important to look at the needs. So Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, but he also sees that these disciples of his has a big need. They have a big need. They have a need to be in a relationship with him, because later on, when he comes back after the resurrection, they all have fled and they don't even want to be around him. They don't even want to see him because they're guilty, they're ashamed. But he made sure before all that happened that he washed their feet and that he got himself right with them. I think that everybody here has people that you need to wash their feet. There are some people here right now, this meeting right here, and you need to wash some feet of some people. I don't know how you're going to do that, but the Lord's going to show you how to do that. But I think everybody is going to have to wash the feet of a few people here and there. So what that means to you, I don't know. I don't mean go down there and get the handy wipe and wipe their feet. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there is something that you have to do to really release those people. And so He's going to show you that, because we're going to take communion next week. I'm preparing for this next communion. It's the first Sunday next week. And I'm going to really get into the details of what happens when you take that wrong. So this is preparing us for next week. This is not just about today. This is about next week. Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, and he had a man that he sent his disciples to and said, I have a donkey over here, and I need you to get that donkey and bring it to me. I have need of it. Now then, this man was not a covetous man. He let go of the donkey. He didn't think the Lord was taking advantage of him. This is something that happens many times with our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with people. How many of you feel like people take advantage of you sometimes? How many of you feel like people, they don't appreciate you, they don't respect you, they take advantage of your generosity, they take advantage of this, they take advantage of that. How many know what I'm talking about? How do you feel when that happens? Do you have a little conversation in your brain? Do you have a conversation with what you'd like to say to that person? Anybody want to tell me their conversation? No. You know what I'm talking about, right? I had just had that conversation. I just had that yesterday, as a matter of fact. But it wasn't at the meeting, so don't worry about it. But, you know, and so Judas, this is the thing about Judas, and this is the thing we got to be careful about with our relationship with God, relationship with people. The devil wants to tell you that that person is not who they say they are. They're not really real. They don't really care about you. If they cared about you, they wouldn't have done that. If Jesus really loved me, he'd set his kingdom up here instead of letting us go through all this hell that we're going through. You know. So have you ever heard this thing in your mind where this devil starts talking to you and saying, well, if the Lord really loved you, that wouldn't happen. If the Lord really loved you, he wouldn't have taken that child. If the Lord really loved you, you wouldn't have got a divorce. If the Lord really loved you, he wouldn't let you marry who you marry. The Lord don't really love me, you know? And so it's easy for the devil to build a case against the Lord and build a case against somebody. And we sit there and we listen to that, and pretty soon what's going to happen is we're going to deny the Lord. We're going to bail out and even possibly betray the Lord. And so this washing of the feet of others is one of the ways that we cleanse ourselves. If you go from here to John 15, this is very interesting. He has washed the feet of the disciples. Go to John 15, and in verse 2 he says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. We talked about this yesterday. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he is going to take it away. That means everyone. But the ones that bear fruit, he prunes it so it may bear more fruit. Prune is another word for cleansed. So it's the same thing as washing the feet. The washing of the feet is cleansing. It's the pruning. It is the pruning process. And so now he addresses it spiritually speaking, whereas before it was physical, washing the feet. In John 15, you are already clean. You're already clean because I washed your feet. Is that what it says? You're already clean because I washed your feet. Now, washing the feet didn't cleanse them. That wasn't what that was about. It wasn't about washing the feet. What did he say? You are clean because of the word that I've been speaking to you. He said, you're cleansed because of what I've been doing from John 13 to John 15. This is what's cleansing you. This is what's cleansing you. And we'll go back over there and we'll see what he said. If you go on down, he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. So to abide in the Lord, he had to wash their feet. He had to basically forgive them. He had to release them. He had to say, you're on your own. You can, if you want to do this, you can do it. But he forgave them and he released them. And that's the way that they were able to abide in him, the way he was able to abide in them. He said, if you don't abide in me, you're thrown away as a branch and dries up. So I think that washing of the feet is the way you get to abide with one another. We're supposed to abide with our brothers. We got to live with our brothers. We're supposed to abide with the Lord. And if we're not able to wash the feet of one another, you're not going to abide with your brother very long. Men? How many brothers have you been with and you're not with anymore? Amen? How many brothers have been with you? I mean, man, I've had a lot that have been with me, not with me anymore. You know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is really weird when you start thinking about it. You know, where are the real brothers and sisters in the Lord? Who are they? Man, if you don't abide with one another, I don't know if you're really a brother or a sister or not. Amen? You can't live with one another? If you can't sit next to one another? You can't sit in the same side of the church with one another? You know what I'm talking about? This thing, you're going to see later on, one of the sins that God does not forgive. You know there's a sin that God does not forgive? Anybody know what it is? I'm getting ahead of my message, but you know what it is? Unforgiveness of a brother. If you don't forgive your brother, he doesn't forgive you. In other words, not being right with your brother, God will not forgive it. That sounds almost like the unpardonable sin when you think about it. We'll go into that next week, but I just want to give you a little preview of that. He goes on down in verse 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. How did he love those disciples? He loved them even though they were getting ready to forsake him. He loved them even though Peter was going to deny him three times. He loved them even though Judas betrayed him and turned him over to death. He said, this is the way you have to love. So this whole message, I think, for the next 7 weeks is how to love and abide in the Lord. Greater love has no one than this, that you lay down your life for your friends. That's the love I think that God's wanting us to get to. That's the love that he showed on the cross. That's the love between last Sunday and Pentecost that we got to get, is to lay the life down. To lay the life down. And I don't think most people want to do that, let alone, we can't even wash the feet, let alone lay our life down for one another. Jesus laid his life down for every one of those disciples. And the one that actually killed him, he laid his life down for him too. So the foot washing that we're talking about here in John 13, when you go to John 15, you see what he's really talking about. He's really talking about the washing with the word, the washing and letting it wash your heart, getting rid of all this unforgiveness, all this bitterness. I think most of the problems that we deal with in our life and in our relationships is nothing more than unforgiveness. Real simple little thing that people don't think too much about, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal with God. And how do you keep from getting into unforgiveness and bitterness? I think it's by the washing of the feet. Why did Jesus wash the feet of those disciples? What was the purpose of that? He knows what they're getting ready to do. He knows he's going to be all alone, and he's preparing for that. He's preparing for that. Let's go back. verse 11 in John 13. He knew the one who was betraying him. Have you ever known anybody was betraying you? Anybody ever known that? Anybody? What do you feel when you feel that? What do you want to do? You want to go. No, really, what do you feel? Do you feel good? Do you feel mad? How could they do that to me? This is what I think. Before the church really goes to the cross, we're going to learn how to deal with this. Because that's the last thing that put him on the cross. Betrayal of those right next to him. Denial of those right next to him. Being forsaken by those right next to him. Boy, that's a hard thing. And then you have to, and then what do? You got to lay your life down for those that forsook you, denied you, and betrayed you. And he didn't try to run from the betrayal. When they came and Judas kissed him, he didn't say, wrong kiss, brother. That's not me. He took it. He took that thing. I mean, for me, I would be like, get the sword out, brother. I'm going to be cutting somebody's head off right now. So I think the Lord wants to take the church to this new level of forgiveness and washing the feet of one another. And I know there's some things that have happened here, because I know a little bit of what's going on here. And I know many of you are going to have to do this. Many of you are going to have to do this. And God's going to show you, I think, between now and maybe the day of Pentecost, what we do to do this. If you don't do it, it's not going to be good. Not going to be good. He said he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. Not all of you are clean. Here's the thing I saw. The covetous person will always betray. If you have a problem with covetousness, we'll betray somebody for the sake of something. He betrayed for the sake of the 30 pieces of silver. Covetous will betray. The weak in the flesh will deny. Covetous will betray, and those that are weak in the flesh will deny the Lord. That's what Peter did. He said the flesh the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. So he wound up denying the Lord because his flesh was weak. He wasn't able to handle that confrontation and being associated with Jesus. So in the flesh he was weak, so he ended up denying the Lord. So we have to be really careful that we kill this flesh. If we don't do that, we're going to deny the Lord. Verse 12, so when he washed your feet, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Do you really know what I've done? And they said, yeah, you washed my feet, man. You know, you took the dirt off my feet. Sure. That's not what he did. And he's asking them if they really understood what he did. And I don't think that they understood that. So this is what I'm asking the church today. What does the foot washing mean to you? What do you have to do to wash the feet of your brother, your denier, your betrayer, the forsaker? What do you have to do? He said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so am I. If I, the Lord, the teacher, washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. So now then, he's talking about, okay, I washed your feet, now you got to go do the same thing. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So in other words, you got to put yourself in the same place that Jesus was in. He was getting ready to be betrayed. He was getting ready to be denied. He was getting ready to be put to death. He said, you got to do the same thing I did. Same thing. So that was the example. You got to do it. So this is a word to the church. Right now we're in the foot washing phase. We're going to go into the communion phase later on. But right now we're in the foot washing phase. You can't do communion until you do the foot washing. You can't do the communion until you do the foot washing. And you're going to see what happened when Judas did not receive the foot washing properly. You see what happened to him when he took communion. So see, Jesus was not only protecting the disciples, he was protecting himself. You know, he had to do in the flesh the same thing we got to do. He had to do it. We got to do the same way he did. He's got to do it the same way we do. We can cleanse our brothers from any betrayal they've committed against us, and they will be forgiven, and so will we. The washing of one another keeps us from betraying one another. The washing of one another keeps us from betraying one another. Jesus never betrayed those disciples all the way to the end. He never spoke evil of them. He never said anything behind their back. He never betrayed them. Never did he do that. Amen? And look what they did to him. Now then, I don't know about you and me. I know about me. It's pretty hard not to do that, isn't it? Not to say something or retaliate. We're a long ways, I think, from where we're supposed to be there. And I think God has taken many of us through this. I know some of you have been through this. Y'all know what I'm saying out there, some of you? I'm looking at you. You know what I'm saying? This is the cross that God has taken us to. And if we don't get this, here's what's going to happen. We take the Lord's table. I'll go into detail next week. We take it inappropriately, and we're going to be guilty of the body of Jesus. And we're going to crucify him again, and he don't die but once. And hell comes on us. This is why people are sick. This is why people cannot get healed. This is why people cannot get healed, and this is why some people die. And next week, I'm going to go into detail exactly how that works. But I'm kind of giving you a little heads up on it. He said, I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. So what is he talking about here? He's saying, I'm doing this to you because you guys are getting ready to run. You're going to leave me all alone. You're going to deny me. You're going to betray me. And you're going to forsake me. And therefore, you need to get ready because people are going to do that to you. And you better do it the same way I did. Or you're not going to make it. Amen? If you can learn to deal with this, you can deal with anything. If you can learn to deal with those that mistreat, judge you, talk about you, deny you, betray you, if you can deal with that, keep your little old mouth shut, oh, Lord, that's hard. How many have a hard time with that? I have a hard time with that. I'll be honest. I have a hard time with that. Amen? It's hard. And then sometimes, maybe I don't do it in my mouth, but I sure do it in my head and in my little old heart, you know? And then we come and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Take the table of the Lord. Bless you, Lord. And then we get sick and die. This is why people can't get healed. I believe this is one of the reasons people are not getting healed in church. This is why some people die prematurely. They die prematurely. He said in 1 Corinthians 11, I'll be teaching next week, he said, many are sick and many sleep because of it. So what is the point then? The point is you've got to wash the feet before you take the table. So I want us this next 7 weeks, we get ourselves to the place and we're going to go to the cross here and we're going to do this thing right. And I'm talking about myself too, guys. He says, truly, a slave is not greater than his master, nor the one sent greater than the one who sent him. So are we greater than Jesus? I mean, do we have a right to be mad, upset, judge, speak evil? How much more did he have a right? He said, you're not better than me, man. And I didn't do it. You understand? He said, I'm the Lord. I could do it if I wanted to, and I didn't do it, so you're not better than me, so get off of it. Boy, this is... I guarantee you, if our church can get this, if I can get this, I'm preaching, brother, I'm preaching to me way down deep here. If I can get this, and I think it's really important for me to get this in order for you to get it, because I know the Lord works that way. What happens to me affects you guys. I'm really aware of that and conscious of that. So I know the Lord is telling me this. You gotta be willing to do this. No matter who, no matter what. And that's the final thing that put Jesus on the cross. All the other stuff, but the final thing was this right here. And the thing he did so he could be right with God, the Father, was he washed those disciples' feet, and then he went on out and went to the cross. So y'all think about that. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. See, we know a lot of stuff here, but we don't always do it. One thing to know this, that's a whole different thing to do it. It's one thing to know that this is what you're supposed to do, but it's another thing to humble yourself and do it. Boy, that's hard. That's hard. That's why not too many people preach this kind of stuff. Because it requires everybody to make a decision and to humble ourselves. This is how you get blessed. Don't forget. Just because you've been betrayed, you've done the same thing. You've done it. I've done it. And not anybody in here hadn't done that. Either knowingly or unknowingly, but we've done it. You know? And so for us to get on our high horse about somebody doing this to us, I mean, we're putting ourselves above the Lord. And also, if you really think about it, we've denied the Lord a lot of times. And he still forgave us. He still had mercy on us. Amen. So the Lord is saying, put aside the betraying of the Lord. Look, here's the deal. You say, well, I didn't betray the Lord. You betray a brother, you betrayed the Lord because the Lord's in your brother. He said, if you've done it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. If you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Amen. He says, I don't speak of all of you. I know the ones I've chosen. Pretty good to know that the Lord knows who he chose. It'd be important for us to know that he chose us. Do you know that he chose you? Did he choose you or not? He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So see, God does the choosing. You don't choose him, he chose you. He said, but the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Kind of interesting that the last piece of bread is called the heel. That's called the heel, isn't it? That's the Judas bread right there. You eat the heel, you eat the Judas bread. It's pretty bad when you eat dinner with somebody and then they lift up their head and their heel and step on your head after you fed them. Amen? You ever had somebody over for dinner and you fed them? Maybe you had somebody over spiritually for dinner and you fed them, and then they lifted up their heel and stepped on your little head. Anybody ever had that happen? Know what I'm saying? What happened to Jesus? Amen? He fed him. Fed him spiritual food, physical food, and he lifted up his heel and tried to crush him, you know. And he knew it. So he knew the betrayer. And then when you get down to the betrayal, the original betrayer is Satan. And man, that thing right there just amazes me. How the devil could figure that he is better than God, and knows more than God, and is going to take over from God. And what's even harder is how he convinced one third of the angels to go with him. How did he do that? But he does it to us. He does it to us every day. To betray the Lord, to betray a brother, to do this. He tells us, and we buy it. He's pretty convincing. Pretty convincing. I think if we can get this in the next 7 weeks, we're not gonna rush through this. We're gonna take the time to really let this sink in, because it's not gonna sink in today or the next week, but it's gonna sink in before long. And when it does, there'll probably be weeping and gnashing of teeth here at the altar when it sets in. I think it is. I pray it is. So the washing is how we prevent unrighteousness from entering into us, as it did with Satan and all betrayers who return evil for good. The hardest thing to do is to release those that have eaten from your own table in your own home. That's a hard thing to do. Amen? That to release someone that has eaten your own bread, you cooked for them, you fed them spiritually. Oh, brother, is that hard? I think it is. It may not be for you, but for me it's hard. Jesus did that. Jesus was the bread that Judas and the disciples ate. And even after eating the bread, Judas still betrayed Jesus. The foot washing did not change the heart of the betrayer. That's what's interesting. Washing of that man's feet, the cleansing of that man, did not change his heart. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. Here's what I think. When we will truly wash the feet of our brothers, the true disciples of the Lord, you know what's going to happen? They're going to draw closer to you. You're going to draw closer to them. And you're going to draw closer to the Lord. But if it's a betrayer, they will probably go further away. The betrayer gets worse, and the true disciple gets closer when you truly wash the feet. You'll find out then who the betrayer is and who the disciple is, who the real thing is, because he washed all those disciples' feet. 11 of them came back, but one of them didn't. Amen. I think this is how you kind of begin to discern. He said, from now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass. Now watch this. He said, I'm telling you what's getting ready to happen before it comes to pass. So when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. What is he talking about here? I'm telling you before it comes. He said, I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm getting ready to be betrayed, and I'm going to look like the bad guy. This is what he's saying. Listen. He said, I'm telling you what's getting ready to happen, guys. I'm going to be betrayed, and you're going to think, I don't want to be with him. I'm telling you what's going to happen so that when it happens, you can really believe that I'm. You know what? Judas did not believe that Jesus was the real deal. Or he wouldn't have turned him over. He did not believe that Jesus was the real deal. And Jesus is telling him, I'm telling you this so that when this happens, you'll know that I am the real deal. And so a lot of times people betray you because they don't think you're the real deal. They don't think you're real. They don't think you're honest. They don't think you're true. I mean, I understand what I'm talking about here. I mean, if you've ever been in ministry, man, brother, that happens all the time if you've been in ministry. Because there's so many deceivers and so many false prophets and things, and people don't know who's of God and who isn't anymore. Who's of God and who isn't? Nobody knows. You know? We're supposed to know. I'm going to show you in a minute. Hopefully, I'll have time to show you in a minute how you know. You ought to know. God does not bless ignorance and deception. And he does not make excuses for ignorance and deception. He doesn't. Was Judas deceived? Yeah. Did he make an exception? No. He didn't make an exception. Brother, to keep from being deceived, man, we got to keep washing the feet. Because if we do what Jesus says, we're not going to be deceived. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments and you will abide in my love. You understand what I'm saying? So if we don't do these things, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get deceived. This is why the church is deceived, because they don't do what God tells them to do. And so we don't have discernment on who's God, who's from God, and who isn't. Because we're not doing what he said. If you do what I say, you'll abide in my love. You're going to know the truth. The truth will make you free. Boom. But because we don't do it, we get deceived. And we think the God is the devil and the devil is the Lord. That's what people think. People don't know the difference between the devil and the Lord. And obviously Judas didn't know. So Jesus is telling his disciples, look, I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to be betrayed. Now they have no clue what that's talking about. But later on, they're going to see it. And then they all, what do? They head for the hills. They say, well, he must not be the real thing. Because now he's going to court. He's going to get killed. And our hope is over. You see what I'm saying? He's telling them. So that when you see all this, I want you to realize I'm really the one. It's not what you think. It's not the way it looks. Amen? Jesus washing the feet of the disciples before taking the Lord's Supper was him judging the body of Christ properly. He said, before you take the Lord's Supper, you have to judge the body of Christ properly. Otherwise, don't take it. Otherwise, you'll be guilty of the body of Christ. He was getting ready to take the Lord's Supper, and he judged everyone properly. Even those that denied him and forsook him, he forgave them, and he understood what was going on, and he didn't have anything in him that the devil could come. When you take that Lord's Supper and you got something in you that's not right, I'll show you what happens in just a minute. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. How many of you, the Lord sent somebody to you for you to get saved? Raise your hand. Somebody basically led you to the Lord. Raise your hand. You had to receive, most people have to receive somebody most of the time. Most of the time, the Lord sends somebody to you. A few people get it, just them and the Lord, but most don't. Paul, the apostle, the Lord showed up and knocked him, you know, off his donkey and had an encounter. But most people have an encounter with God through somebody else bringing the gospel to them. Amen? So you can't receive the Lord in general if you don't receive the one that God sends. So like when we go to Dominican Republic, those that went to the Dominican, how many of you say they received us? So when they received us, guess what they received? They received the Lord and deliverance, didn't they? Everyone that received us, they received what God sent through us. Okay? Jesus was sent by God. Judas didn't receive him. He did not receive him. Amen? It's important to know who God sends, and it's important to receive the ones that God sends. Now let's go to John 18:37. Look at this. How do you know somebody is from God? How do you know Jesus is from God? How do you know a preacher or any minister is from God? Look at this. John 18:37. Pilate said, "So you're a king?" Jesus said, "You say correctly I'm a king. I've been born for this. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Everyone who is of the truth. Not one person that's of the truth will not hear the voice of the Lord. So why do people not hear the voice of the Lord? Because they are not of the truth, and they don't want the truth. They don't want to know the truth. That's why people don't know if it's of the Lord or not, because they don't want the truth. Judas didn't really want the truth, or he would have known. Think about that. How many people in here really want to know the truth? How many want to know the truth about yourself? Okay, come here, I'll tell you. How many really want to know the truth about yourself? Go ask somebody. You want to find out? Go ask somebody. You ever ask somebody? How many ever ask somebody? Just tell me the truth about myself. Judy, I'll tell you. Come here. I might be a little afraid to ask somebody. I don't know where I'd start with that. Daniel, you're pretty gentle. You'd be kind of nice to me. Judy would cut my head off, though. I wouldn't go to her. Be interested to just go sometimes and say, okay, just tell me the truth about myself. Tell me what you see. Go, oh, really? Yeah? You don't know anything. What do you know? What do you know, man? You don't know nothing. That would be pretty interesting to go up to a few people, to take like five people and say, tell me everything about me. And then you go home, you go, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell now. really want to know the truth. Amen? See, this is why a lot of times we don't hear the Lord. I just don't hear the Lord. Well, he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So why do we not hear the Lord? Because we don't want to know the truth. Wow. Wouldn't it be amazing if the Lord just came in here and just took each one of us, starting with me? Okay, I'm going to tell you the truth about yourself. Here we go. About 2 days later. How many could handle the truth about yourself? How many could handle it? I don't know. I think if we start doing what we're supposed to do in this foot washing and this releasing people and doing what Jesus did, then the Lord's gonna start telling us. Because if we do that, we're not going to feel too bad about ourselves. We're going to be doing good things. We're going to be walking in the love of God. Amen? If you're really walking in the love of God, we shouldn't have a problem knowing the truth about ourselves. But if we're not walking in the love of God, we're going to have a problem knowing the truth. So what if the Lord came in and said, I'm going to show you every place where you're not walking in the love of God. I'm going to show you every place you're not washing the foot of your brother. I'll show you every one of those. How many be willing? Might be hard. Might be hard. No, I have more than 5 minutes left. I'm going to 11:15. I have 15 minutes left up there. So that's how you know. If you're of the truth, you're going to hear the voice of God. Obviously, Judas was not of the truth. All right, now then, verse 21, John 13, 21. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in his spirit and said, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Betrayal is very troubling to the spirit of a person. If you've ever been betrayed, it troubles your spirit. If you've ever been denied, it troubles your spirit. If you've ever been spoken evil of, it troubles your spirit. Jesus himself was troubled. I mean, if Jesus got troubled through it, you think you and I are going to get troubled? Amen? He was very troubled about this. The disciples began to look at one another. They were saying, who is the one? We don't know. We don't know who's going to betray him. And then there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom. That's John. And Peter gestured to him. You know, Peter, he gestured to John. He said, John, tell us who he's talking about. He didn't ask Jesus. He asked John. So, John, you ask Jesus who he's talking about, you know. And leaning back on Jesus' bosom, he said, Lord, who is it? You ever seen somebody lean on somebody's chest? Pastor Ramirez does that to me when I go to Dominican. Did y'all notice that over there? Pastor Ramirez is one of our pastors. When he comes up to me, he sees me. He puts his head right here. He puts his head just like this on my chest. Kind of neat. But that's what John was doing. And Jesus said, this is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. So he said, I'm going to dip the morsel and this is it. And the disciples still didn't get it. It's like, guys, what are you doing? They didn't get it even when he said that. He said, the one I'm going to dip the morsel and give it to him, that's the one. He dipped the morsel, took it, gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Wouldn't you hate to be named as the father of Judas? He named his daddy. Amen? Oh my gosh. I bet he's, would you please take that out of the scripture? That's not my son. He named his father. Why did he name his father? Look at this, verse 27. Now this is what happens when we take communion. After the morsel, Satan entered into him. After he took the bread, the demon went into him. Can you believe that? I mean, that is pretty powerful. He said, what you do quickly. When you take the cup and the bread with the wrong heart towards Jesus, or towards others. When you do that with the wrong heart, it's called fake communion. It's fake communion. And when you take it with the wrong heart, you get a different spirit what you get. And I'm wondering how many people take communion and wind up getting demons instead of getting free. That's how serious this thing is. Because later on, Paul describes this very thing and how it actually happened. And he's talking about this. And I'm going to go into that next week. But when he took that cup, he said, yes, I love you, Lord. I'm going to obey you, Lord. I'll let you wash my feet, Lord. And he's faking it, lying. And as soon as he took that cup, the devil went into him. So now you can see why he says, for this reason, many are sick. And many are weak, it says. Many are sick, many are weak, and many sleep. That was many, the word many. That meant most of the Corinthian church had that problem. Do you get that? Most of the people in that Corinthian church were either sick, weak, or dead because they did not understand what communion was all about. And they did not understand what it meant to wash the feet of your brother. They didn't get it. This is what I think is wrong. Because you look at the church, you look at the church today in general, the church is sick physically. Is that true? I bet if we could, if Christians took away all the medication, most of the drug pharmaceutical companies would go under. If Christians weren't buying medications. So we pray for people and they don't get healed. Why is that? They ought to get healed. I don't know if it's making any, this is a little different message. I don't know if it's making any sense to anybody, but I really feel this is what the Lord has put in my heart. That if we don't get this thing, if we don't get this thing, we're playing games with the rest of it. And we can cast out all the demons in the world, but then we die because we take communion and got stuff in our heart and we die. You know. That's why he said, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons. We did this. He said, I don't even know who you are. Pretty serious. Pretty serious. Amen. So for 7 weeks, we're going to really deal. We're going to deal with what Jesus was talking about in the Passover, what he was talking about after the resurrection, and what we're supposed to do to get ourselves right. He faked his relationship with Jesus. You ever had somebody fake a relationship with you? Anybody ever had a boyfriend or girlfriend that you don't have anymore? Anybody ever had one that you don't have anymore? You ever find out it was fake? Or maybe you were fake. I was fake a few times myself. I was the fake side a few times. But y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You ever had a relationship where it wound up being fake? You thought it was one thing and it was another. Fake relationship. This was a fake relationship. Man, we don't want a fake relationship with God, do we? We don't want a fake relationship with our spouse. We don't want a fake relationship with our brothers in the Lord either. We don't want to be fake. When you take the cup and you're fake, you get the faker, the deceiver. Amen? Look at this. It said earlier, it said, Satan had already put this in his heart to betray him. Here's what happens. The words of Satan already entered the heart of Judas. Now then, when the words enter the heart, and you receive the words, then when you fake the relationship and say you love when you really hate, you take that word to heart, then you become a partaker of the spirit that spoke the words. Whatever words you take to heart, whatever words you eat the spirit that is behind those words. So first thing he did, the words entered the heart. because he received them and he ate the words, betray the Lord, betray the Lord. So that's the way this stuff works. So you listen, you listen, and you listen, and pretty soon you listen enough and it gets in here. Now then, you come to the Lord and say, I love you, Lord, but you don't. And you take the cup, and instead of taking the Lord's cup, you're taking the devil's cup. And now his spirit enters in instead of the spirit of the Lord. And so you receive a different spirit. So I'm wondering how many people in church are taking communion and getting a wrong spirit. Because that's what happened here. And that's why Paul warns about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Everybody with me? How do you keep that from happening? There's only one way. You wash the feet of your brother. It's the only way you keep that from happening. You make sure next Sunday when we take communion, I got a feeling there's probably only three or four people going to take communion next week. Man, we're going to sit down and we're going to do this thing in a different way this next week. I'm going to really go into this in detail. Okay? You know, you need to be careful who you eat and drink with. Now you see why it says don't eat with a covetous man? Judas was a covetous man. And you eat with that and you get that spirit. Don't eat with a covetous man. Because when you eat, together, typically that's you don't eat with hostile people most of the time, right? Most of the time you eat with people that are somewhat civil to you or somewhat friends. Right? Amen? So be careful who you eat with. Don't eat with a covetous man. Don't eat with a selfish man. So he made a deceptive covenant. He ate judgment to himself. Think about another person that ate judgment to themselves. Adam and Eve. They ate off the tree. What happened? Same thing. They said, yeah, we love you, Lord, and then they ate off the tree. Same thing happened. Esau ate the stew. Same thing. Very interesting how many sins are associated with eating and food. Really amazing the power that food has, especially gluten. Amen? There's something really powerful about food. And powerful when you eat together, there's something happens. There's spiritually something happens when you eat together. Amen? I'm not in overtime. I got four more minutes. Betrayal always comes from those who are closest. Betrayal always comes from those that are close. The same in your life. When Satan was the next in command to the Lord. Do you know that? He was the next in command. He betrayed the Lord. He was next in command. And then what did he do? He went after a third of the angels and got them on his side too. This is the thing about betraying. Usually, there's a conspiracy with betrayal. Because betrayer wants to get everybody else in there with them. A betrayer doesn't do it by himself. He wants to get everybody else in. Amen? That's why it makes it very difficult to deal with this. Verse 30, after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. And then we go on down to verse 34. I'm going to try to finish John 13. A new commandment I give you. This is the new commandment. This is after the foot washing. Watch this. This is the culmination of the Passover right here. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. So he said, I want you to love one another the way I loved you. How did he love them? He washed their feet and released them and forgave them before they even did it. He said, that's the way I want you to love one another. I'm showing you how to do it. This is my new commandment. Love one another like I did. He didn't say just love one another, right? Right? He didn't say just love one another. He said, this is a new commandment. Love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. What does that mean? Wash the feet. That's the love that God wants us to have. That's what I think he's telling us. Now then, I know a lot of people here have had some really bad things that's happened. But you know what? It don't matter. You want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? Or you want to be Judas? I mean, really? That's a hard word, isn't it? It's a hard word. That's why he said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And everybody walked away except 12 disciples. They did not want that because that required the death, going to the cross, the betrayal. By this, all men are going to know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. That's the problem in the church. Most people don't think the church is the church because they don't love one another. Because they talk about one another and curse one another and speak evil one another, and you know, it's best just keep your mouth shut. It's best to keep your mouth shut, keep your fingers from texting and all that stuff. You know, that's just bringing judgment. Amen. It just brings judgment. And then Peter said in verse 37, "I'm gonna lay my life down for you." I want the worship team to come on up. How are we doing that? That's what I said. Yeah. Worship team right there in the sound box. He said, I'm going to lay my life down for you. Boy, look at Peter. Yeah. Jesus, no problem, man. I'm going to lay my life down. Hey, you don't know what you're going to do till the stress comes. When the stress comes, man, you think, I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then they come up there and they take Jesus away to crucify him. You go, oh, I don't know you. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know. He said, I'm going to lay my life down. The flesh was weak. Spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Verse 38. Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say, a rooster will not crow till you deny me three times. He said, you're going to deny me three. So Jesus already knew that, and he already forgave him before he ever did it. Because when he took the communion, he had to be right. And he already knew what was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? He knew that that was going to happen. So he had to get himself where he was not going to be holding that against those guys. And that's what God wants us to do, is we don't hold anything against anybody. So hard. But that's that final thing of going to the cross. So I want y'all to just, we're just going to have a little short time here at the altar. All right. If you've been betrayed, come on down. If you've been betrayed, Think about it. Jesus washed the feet of his betrayer. We're not above the Lord. Nobody's above the Lord. And nobody here but me, you, nobody's above the Lord. And boy, this is going to, a lot of times you're going to look pretty bad when you do what the Lord says. And Jesus knew that when he went to that cross, when they came to get him, he knew the disciples were not going to get it. He knew that they're going to look at him saying, man, are you really the real deal here? I mean, you're going away and we're running for our lives. And he said, remember, I told you so that you'll believe that I'm really the one. But this is what I want you to realize, that Jesus is the one. And what he says, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And you may look like man, I'm dying. My people are saying things. The Lord's not here. I'm all alone. But the Lord said, remember, when this happens, that you know that I'm the one. I'm him. Amen. So just let the Lord work. Let the song play a little bit. What I want you to do, we don't have to do anything today, but I want you to prepare yourself for communion next week. Because I really believe if we take communion right, that God's going to heal us instead of make us sick. And that instead of demons coming in, the Spirit of God's going to have control of us. You know. So let me ask you this. If you can think of someone, or at least one or ten people, that you need to, in your heart, wash their feet, raise your hand. Amen. I don't like preaching these things because I got to do it. Is it good? Did y'all get anything out of that today? I felt weird preaching without a translator. I kept waiting for Lizzie or Eduardo to say something. They never did. Felt so strange. I'm going to get a little dummy. We have that little dummy. Daniel, you got that little dummy. If you'll put that thing up here, it'd make me feel so much better. I feel all alone, man. I'm hearing myself echo, and I'm going, where's the other voice? I feel so weird. It's weird. It's going to take me a few weeks to get used to this, but I'll get used to it sooner or later. But y'all hear what I'm saying on this? This is really, really important, the foot washing. It's not about washing the dirt off somebody's feet. That was a symbol of what he was doing, because you walk through the earth and your feet get dirty, and you need to cleanse your feet. You know? And he said, I've got to cleanse you every day. You can't take communion with me if I don't cleanse you. I can't cleanse you unless you wash the feet of your brother. You know? Amen? Let's just let the Lord minister to you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let us, in our heart right now, knowing that we have done just as bad, knowing that we are not above our master, that we have to do the same thing, Lord. And even if we look like the scum of the earth, and Jesus, you did, because you became the sin. You became sin. Everybody looked at you and saw sin. Lord, sometimes that's what people are going to do with us, is look at us and say, man, what a rotten sinner. We're not above you, Lord. If they said it about you, it's going to be said about us if we do the right thing. We don't save our lives. But Lord, I want to see the Spirit of God poured out on this church.